Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague Jonathan Schanzer, Senior Vice President Research for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. We go immediately to the sound of gunfire. This is Nusayrat, a camp in the central Gazan area. I've never been there, and right now it looks to be a war zone with destroyed buildings in all directions. But over these last days, the report is there are Hamas fighters there, small arms, maybe shoulder-fired rockets, but the IDF has chosen to go back in. I saw a tank rolling through the gate 24 hours past. Jonathan, a very good evening to you. The estimate is that of the battalions that the Hamas started the war with, there's maybe one scratch battalion left, very little leadership, a last-ditch kind of fighter with small arms. Is that accurate, or is there more in there?
No, that's about right. I mean, I think it's safe to say right now, John, that yes, 23 out of 24 brigades destroyed. The one that's still fighting is barely a brigade at that. I think we could probably call this a low-level insurgency at this point, funded and armed by Iran, Qatar, and Turkey. There's really not much to point to. The problem is that the leftovers of Hamas, the hangers-on, they're still around, and they're actually also recruiting people to pick up arms, even those that are really not particularly well-trained. There's no shortage of young men in tracksuits, as we like to say, who are willing to pick up an AK-47 and to fight for this cocktail of Islamism and Palestinian nationalism. This is the allure of Hamas. And Hamas, you've heard it said before, Hamas is an idea, is not likely to go away. But the terrorist organization that launched the 10/7 attacks last year is really no longer. There are maybe five or six names left in the ranks of the leadership. The serious masterminds of the military operations, there's maybe only one left there. That's Mohammed Sinwar, Yahya's brother, who apparently is still leading things from the ground. But this is an organization that is eviscerated right now with no chance of coming back anytime soon. I've heard from Israelis that it'll take 10 years for this group to reconstitute, which, by the way, is about what it would take to rebuild Gaza, if we're being realistic. So I think the timeline of a Hamas return is just not anytime soon.
The Philadelphia corridor, as I understand it, and it changes daily, Mr. Netanyahu and the government are reluctant, as in no way we give the security over to Egypt, given how they handled it the first time. On the Cairo side, I don't have a response, but it remains a debate. It's not only the tunnels underneath, it's the Rafah crossing. Where is that in negotiation, or is the last word Israel says we keep it?
Well, it's interesting because I think there's two Israels right now. As we watch this debate unfold, I mean, I think, you know, there will be pressure on the Israelis at some point to vacate, primarily because it's what Cairo wants and probably what the U.S. wants. I think the Israeli government has stood firm here and said, no way, no how are we leaving, which, by the way, is exactly what they're saying about the rest of Gaza, too, that security over the Gaza Strip needs to remain in the hands of the IDF. The interesting wrinkle here is that you have a lot of people in Israel right now representing the hostage families, representing the Israeli left, the Israeli peace camp. They're basically saying, look, this war is, for all intents and purposes, over, right? Hamas is defeated. There's no real reason for the IDF to be there. In fact, you know, you see still the occasional names of IDF soldiers who are killed in action in Gaza. And there are some Israelis who are saying, look, you stay longer, it's going to turn into a quagmire. You're going to lose this victory. And so the way out is to basically declare the hard fighting over, to remove troops and only to go in when absolutely necessary. Of course, what that does not account for is the smuggling, John. And I think that's the point, is if you leave those smuggling channels open, that's how Hamas can reconstitute itself. That's how it can launch more significant attacks against Israel. What's so amazing to watch right now is that, you know, that when they interdict weapons that are coming in, it's actually right now small arms and ammo for small arms. That's what's being smuggled in right now. That's an improvement over the missiles and rockets, or the missile and rocket parts, and the shoulder fired, you know, weapons, the mortars. Those are the things that used to come in before. They're not coming in now. It's small arms to support an insurgency. That means that Israel's doing something right, in my view. And of course, we want the hostages back. We'd like to see a deal made where Israel can leave. But I think we're probably not there yet and may not be there for some time.
Doha, Qatar. The Hamas leadership there is two different versions. One, the U.S. has put pressure on Qatar, get rid of them, and they're in negotiation with Turkey. Two, there is no movement whatsoever, and the leadership stays there protected by the Qataris. Choose one or choose both, Jonathan. Where do we go?
I think the answer is nobody knows. I'm not even sure the Qataris know. The story broke last week, and you know, initially we heard from unnamed sources in the Israeli media that that Hamas was being removed. Then we heard from unnamed sources who at least were identified as Biden administration officials speaking to Israeli media, saying that Qatar had been requested to jettison Hamas. We understand now that there was actually a lot of pressure being brought to bear by Republican senators who were pushing for this. The Qataris were said to have been informed of this back in late October. Then they agreed, and now they appear to be walking it back, saying that they continue to want to remain involved in the ceasefire discussions, the hostage discussions, that there is no plans of removing Hamas. Look, this may be a way for the Qataris, after funding and arming and providing safe haven to Hamas for more than a decade, they don't want to be seen as having been defeated politically while they make plans to remove Hamas. But I think there's also a question of where does Hamas go? As you indicate, John, I think Turkey is one possible place. Iran is, of course, another. Maybe Malaysia, Algeria are some dark horses as we look at the options. But I would say that, look, this all signs point to the same thing, that Hamas is running out of steam. And even if these rumors are not true about the Qataris forcing their exit, the fact that this is something that's even being talked about right now is important. It was not being talked about a few months ago. I think it should have been talked about on day one. Literally on October 7th, there should have been discussions about forcing Hamas out of Qatar. The outgoing administration did nothing on this. I think the Qataris may have made their decision to possibly remove Hamas because of fears of what an incoming administration might say about it, or how they might treat the Qataris, because after all, I think to the letter of the law, they are state sponsors of terror. So I think a lot of decisions to be made soon by the Qataris, but the pressure now feels to have pivoted onto them. And that's a good thing, in my view.
The headlines from Jerusalem in these last hours: Hezbollah drone hits kindergarten near Haifa, kids unharmed in bomb shelter. We have repeatedly stories, and I spoke with north of Israel last Thursday, a young woman who is with her family 9 kilometers from the border. Hundreds and dozens of rockets and drones coming over every day. I read a report this morning that there were attacks in southern Beirut, bomb attacks, IAF activity. What is the status of Hezbollah now that they have supposed new leadership and they're supposedly in negotiation?
Yeah, I don't actually see these negotiations going particularly well. Amos Hochstein, the envoy for President Biden, has been spending a lot of time in the region. There is some discussion right now about a possible deal that would force Hezbollah north of the Litani. I think Hezbollah is going to have a hard time accepting a deal where it loses operational territory and that it's forced to withdraw or disarm in certain areas. I do think, though, that there is a real need being articulated by the Israelis. They want out of this war. And by the way, Trump is now saying that he wants everybody out of this war, that he is that he prefers to see this war wrapped up before he steps into office on January 20th. I think that's an interesting dynamic. But really, I think the answer only lies with Iran. The regime in Iran will ultimately decide whether Hezbollah continues to be deployed. The new leader of Hezbollah likely does not have much of a say in all of this. We're watching Hezbollah, even as it has been depleted, even as we have watched it get hurt, its leadership struck down, its longer range missiles depleted. All of these things are good news, but they are still, as you know, John, firing missiles and drones into Israel, 200 per day. The Israelis cannot, and I think have made the decision that they will not intercept all of them. That means more destruction and mayhem on Israel's north. This plays to an advantage for the regime in Iran and for Hezbollah. War of attrition is a win for them. The longer they can do it, the weaker Israel gets, the more their morale is eroded. So it's interesting right now to see whether the president can, or the incoming president, rather, Donald Trump, whether he can nudge things in the right direction, whether the outgoing envoy, Amos Hochstein, whether he can. I think the Lebanese people would love to see this end. I think the Israelis would love to see this end. Really, it's about Iran itself and the dictates that it is delivering to Hezbollah. That's the big question.
We're going to Iran. Jonathan Shanzer, he is a senior vice president for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Have a good day. Stay warm.
So my teenage son just went to school in shorts and a hoodie. It's 3 degrees. At least I know he'll be warm in our house, thanks to Atlas Butler. If something goes wrong, they'll fix it within 24 hours. They call it their comfort pledge.
Ah, you do want the coat.
My phone.
Oh, your phone. Should have known.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.